Gospel and reading to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, forasmuch as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee, the unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only ye shall not eat the blood, ye shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates of the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or of the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, or any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, or heave offering of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hands unto. Take heed to thyself, that thou forget, that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border, as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. If the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which the Lord hath given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, even as the roebuck and the hart is eaten, so thou shalt eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat of them alike. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Thou shalt not eat it, thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water. Thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Only thy holy things which thou hast, and thy vows thou shalt take, and go unto the place which the Lord shall choose. And thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God. And the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt eat the flesh. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the chapter I have divided up into just two sections, the first and the last. And the first section is really very short, verses 1 through 4. And then 5 through the end. Now, if you were to not look down at the page again, but think on what the passage itself teaches, what its main point is, what would be that main point that rises up out of chapter 12? Would it not be that the Lord has particularly ordered the practices of his worship? Isn't worship the tenor, the flavor of this passage? Now, I know there are some ancillary things about, for instance, if you live far away from whatever place it is that the Lord will choose eventually, we know that to be Jerusalem now, but they didn't in that day. If you live a long way from that and you desire to eat flesh, you can eat flesh. If you want to have grilled meat for dinner, you can do that. In fact, the reason we know that it's a dinner and not an offering is because the Lord through Moses says, the clean and the unclean alike may eat of it. It's a meal. It's not an offering. It's not an act of worship. It's killing an animal, pouring the blood out, and remember that pouring out the blood is a sign, a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were to have in all of their history. And so they would kill that animal, they would either drain it or gather its blood and pour it out, one or the other, and then they would be free to eat that meat in wherever they lived, throughout the 12 tribes. And remember the expansiveness of the promise at this point, that it goes from the Mediterranean Sea to the River Euphrates. And it goes from, Dan to Beersheba, right, all the way down almost to Egypt, and all the way north almost to Lebanon, up in the mountains. So there were times when they would be required to come to the place where the Lord set his name to offer their offerings. And we know that it's already been taught in Leviticus, so the people have an awareness of this, that was three times in the year. Three times in the year at three different feasts, they were required to come to Jerusalem and to bring their offerings to offer them there. And what is so important about this is that there was no other authorization to offer in any other part of Israel at all. If anyone was caught offering in another place in Israel, if the spiritual and legal authorities were doing their job, there would be an accusation there. Now, sadly, their history is pockmarked with idolatry, and so they never did that, at least not the way they should have. In times of Reformation, we will hear about that. We'll hear about particular kings, for instance, Josiah, who has what I call his traveling iconoclastic band, right? So he goes from altar to altar to altar to altar and tears them all down. And that did happen. But notice what Moses commands here to the people of God going into the land of Canaan. And that is in this first section. How are they to treat the worship altars and ordinances and appurtenances of the Canaanites? How are they to treat them? I know. They can co-opt them and incorporate them into the worship of Israel, right? No, not at all. They're to tear them down. They're to crush them to powder. They're to scatter them, to the wind. They're to put them in the creek beds and let them wash away. They're not to incorporate. They're to alienate themselves from those ordinances, those services, those ways that they worshiped, and those places, those altars, and all of that appurtenance to the Canaanite worship. Remember that biblical worship is never, ever a co-opting worship. It never takes heathen forms and brings them into the church to build the church. Never does that. It's always a sanctified worship. And by sanctified, we mean set apart, commanded by God. So that's the first four verses. They were commanded simply to wipe out all of that worship, wipe out the memory of it. Do not seek after the Canaanite gods. And a little bit toward the end of the passage, we read, don't seek the Lord your God through the Canaanite form of worship. You can't do that either. Both of those are off limits. So that would be a first commandment idolatry of seeking the Canaanite gods. And it would be a second commandment idolatry, seeking the Lord our God through a Canaanite form. The first commandment and the second commandment. Remember, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second commandment, roughly summarized, is worship God in the way that he has commanded in his word. And that's what this chapter is about. Now, there are the parentheses about eating. You can go ahead and eat flesh in your gates, but remember that it's a meal, not an offering. Pour out the blood, because every time you eat a meal, I want you to remember the sacrifice, the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. But it's not an offering. That meat is a meal. And so the clean and the unclean may eat of it. But then there's going to be a place where the Lord your God is going to set in the midst of your tribes, and he's going to put his name there. He's going to identify that as a very special place in all of your lands, and that will be a unique place such that there you will come, there you will bring your offerings. When you offer to the Lord, the only authorized offering in the nation of Israel will be in that place alone. No matter your feeling of devotion to go out in your backyard and to slit a deer's neck or a goat's neck or a lamb's neck to offer it unto the Lord your God, no matter how sincere you are, no matter how heartfelt that worship is, it is forbidden. It's to be regulated with the Levites and the priests at Jerusalem, and it is to be done only there. And you're not to co-opt the forms of the Canaanites to worship the Lord your God. That's really what the chapter is about. Now, why this particular chapter, especially the last couple of verses, ends up as a proof text for the second commandment becomes very clear then. The tenor of the chapter is talking about worship. And I hope that we realize, especially being here at this church and what our practice is, but for those of you that may not be familiar with it, when it comes to worshiping God, the commandment is that we worship him according to his commandment and not according to our own made-up devotions, no matter how devout they seem or feel to us. And that's why at the end of the chapter, notice what it says, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. Notice what he's saying here in verse 30, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after they have been destroyed before thee, and thou inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. But the likewise there doesn't mean how did they serve their gods, but I'll go ahead like they serve their gods, and I'll serve our God Yahweh. I'm not going to worship any other god. Oh no, far be it from me to do that. But You know, they have some beautiful worship services there in their idol houses. So some of that beauty I would like to incorporate in the worship of the true God. What is the Lord's response to that? Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. You say, oh, gross. Why would he mention that? Why would he bring this in here? Do you remember Micah 6? What does the prophet say in Micah 6? What is his question? Remember the answer? I bet you remember the answer. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Most people remember the answer. But the question is, how shall I come before the high God? That's how the passage begins. How shall I come before the high God? What is the way that I should approach unto the Most High? How should I do that? I know. I'll bring rivers of oil. No, even greater. Even better than that, I'll bring 10,000s of bullocks and rams. No, I've got something even greater than that. I'll bring the firstborn of my body, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. I'll offer my children. My dear brothers and sisters, what I want you to understand here is that the reason this is mentioned here in Deuteronomy chapter 12 is because that to the carnal mind, the greatest and most precious offering that you could ever offer would be your own children. What God would not accept that? Our God. Whatsoever things I command you, that's what you shall do. Thou shalt not add to it, neither shalt thou diminish from it. That's what worship is. It's following the commands of God for worship. Because if it's left to us and our own carnal conceptions of what God would like, what is really more devotional than something else, where does the prophet Micah take it? That's right, all the way to our children. That's why it's mentioned here. Those Canaanites, their devotion was so great to their God that they actually sacrificed their children. Who could beat that? What more costly offering is that? The Lord says, that shall not be a part of your worship. That which I command you, that's what you'll do. Don't add to it and don't diminish from it. And that's why he doesn't leave it to us. That's why he doesn't leave it to our devising of something that would be devotional. Because we don't have the tools to ascertain what he will accept and what he won't. That's why he's been so clear in commanding it. Thus ends the reading of Deuteronomy chapter 12. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.